Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. Well, have a seat. So glad to see you this morning. Thank you for joining us in the room. Thank you for joining us online. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I am the pastor here. And man, that song we just sang, I love it. That refrain, that there's nothing our God can't do. There's nothing he can't do. And as I've sung it now three times, I just can't help think, man, how much better my life would be if I believed that. If I lived like I knew that there's really nothing that our God can't do. I don't know if you consider yourself a Christ follower today. We want to believe that, but it's not always easy, right? And if you're a guest today, maybe you're in the room checking us out online, and you would consider yourself a Christ follower, you hope that's true, that there's nothing our God can't do. But again, you haven't experienced it for yourself yet. I say yet because if you are a guest today, one of the cool things about our church is, man, the more you hang out with the people of God and the more you understand the things of God, the more you fall in love with the Son of God. And so we're thrilled that you're here. And you're actually coming in, if you're a guest today, at the very end of our first series of 2020. And it's occurred to me today that really the entire point of this series is to grow us into people that live like there's nothing our God can't do. Because that's what I need, that's what you need, that's what we all need, especially coming out of what we came out of in 2020. So if you are a guest today, if it is your first time, we're wrapping up our series Resolves today. And if you don't have it already, we've mentioned it a couple times, make sure you grab our app. And not only is it a great way to connect, but it's also a way to catch up, because this is the fifth week of our series, and you can go back on that app and you can watch the last 4 weeks, because what we've been talking about is what I believe is going to be the key to 2021 and beyond. That I believe that God wants to grow a new skill in all of us, and that skill we've been talking about for the last few weeks is resilience, and we've been defining it this way. Resilience is the ability to withstand adversity, to bounce back, and to grow. And coming out of 2020, what I needed and what you needed and what we all needed was the ability to continue to withstand some adversity, was the ability to bounce back from that adversity, and the ability to move forward, the ability to grow, the ability to thrive in any circumstance. And so for the last month, we've been talking about this idea of resilience. How do we grow it in ourselves? How do we become resilient people? How do we walk through life believing, man, there's nothing our God can't do? He's with us, he's for us, and he's in charge. And so what we've been talking about for the last few weeks is the fact that not only does God want to grow that in us, he actually gives us specific gifts that allow resilience to grow inside all of us. And that's why for the last few weeks we've been talking about five gifts that grow our resilience. Now, the really cool thing about these gifts is that they are freely available to everyone. All we have to do is receive them. All we have to do is put them into practice in our lives, and we can begin to grow resilience. Week one, we talked about the first gift he gives, and it's the gift of security. God answers the question, who can I trust? What can I trust? What can I build my life on? What can I count on when everything else will go away? And the answer, we learn week one, is Jesus. Not only does he give us security, Jesus also gives us the gift of identity, the gift of knowing who we are. It's not our role, it's not our career, it's not our path. Who we are is a child of God. God has created us, he has defined us, and he alone has designed us. And there's confidence that comes in knowing who he says we are. Week three, we talked about another gift he gives, and it's the gift of belonging. It's the gift of knowing through God we are fully and finally accepted exactly as we are. He's not waiting for us to get our act together. He's not waiting for us to make another mistake. We are fully accepted in him. Last week, we received another gift from God, and it's the gift of purpose. It's the gift of knowing why we get up every morning, what we're called to do each day, how we define success. And here's what he told us. The way we define success is by simply waking up every day and loving him and leading other people to love him as well. Another word we used is we live our lives in a way that brings glory to God. All glory means is light. So what he's saying is we live our lives in a way that takes the focus off of us and puts the spotlight on Jesus. That everything we do points back to he's the reason, he's the source, he's what helps me become who I am and do what I'm supposed to do each day. Now, those four things are really important. Security, identity, belonging, purpose. As we begin to receive those gifts and we begin to build our lives on those gifts, to understand that he alone supplies those things, I'm convinced we're going to find ourselves more resilient. We're going to find ourselves better able to withstand struggles and better able to withstand adversity. And the reason why is because if you were here week one, you know we used a visual. We talked about these gorgeous live oaks that we see all over the Grand Strand. These beautiful, majestic trees that most of us don't realize are older than us. They're decades, if not centuries old. And they are the picture of resilience. They're a visual reminder that it's possible to withstand storms. These live oaks, man, they withstand hurricanes. They withstand floods. They withstand the random Grand Strand weather where it can be 60 degrees one day and then freezing the next, you know. And they thrive in that environment. And the reason they thrive is because live oaks have an incredibly intricate, powerful root system. We're told that their roots, some of them go as far into the ground as their limbs reach into the sky. And it is this incredibly strong base, this incredibly strong root system that allows them to weather, that allows them to endure, that allows them to thrive in less than ideal circumstances. And it's with that picture in mind that we have looked at these gifts over the last few weeks. We've looked at these gifts and we've asked, okay, how can I build my security, Jesus, in you? How can I plant my life in what you provide? How can I plant my identity in you, in something that is unmoving and unchanging? How can I find my belonging in you? How can I fulfill my purpose in you? And the reason that matters is because God's never going to change. He's never going to go anywhere. If 2020 taught us anything, it's that everything besides God can change. And so if we're finding our trust and we're finding our security in our career, what happens when a global pandemic means we can't be open for months? And if we've attached our identity to that, if we've attached our purpose to that, then we can be washed away. Which is why we are trying to learn as Christ followers and as people checking out the things of God, how to anchor ourselves to something that is unchanging, how to anchor ourselves to something that never goes away, and how to anchor ourselves to something that will not move, that will endure, that will survive every single circumstance. That's where the resiliency comes from. That's the secret of the whole series. It's not your resiliency. It's not my resiliency. It's simply tapping into the resiliency of an unchanging Savior. It's tapping into the resiliency of the God of the universe. It's saying, I'm going to build my life on you because I'm going to trust you to help get me where you want me to go. And so with all that in mind, we're going to pick up today. We're going to wrap up this series because there's one more gift. There's one more thing our Heavenly Father gives us that I believe grows resiliency in all of us. Not only does he give us security, not only does he give us identity, not only does he give us belonging, not only does he give us purpose, he gives us competence. Here's how we're defining competence today. Competence is simply the required skill, knowledge, qualification, or capacity to accomplish a specific task. Very quickly, what that means is your Heavenly Father is going to give you everything you need to do everything he ever wants you to do and do it well. But he doesn't give us all the same competence. He gives us different things. He gives us different strengths. He gives us different abilities. When you wonder about competence, the way you can discover what your own competence is you ask the question, what am I naturally good at? What do I do well? Where do I thrive? Where am I able to help other people? What's fun for me? What do I enjoy doing? See, what we're going to learn today is those very things that you have, those very things that you believe come naturally, those very skills that are so vital in your life, we believe were given to you by the God of the universe for a very specific purpose. And it is only once you begin to understand and embrace that purpose that you will find your entire life truly anchored to the one who never, ever changes. Now, why would I say that? To help you understand and help me understand, help us all understand, I want to take you to the New Testament. Specifically, I want to take you to a letter written by a man named Peter. If you are familiar at all with the story of Jesus, Peter, also known as Simon Peter, was one of Jesus' best friends. For 3 years in Jesus' earthly ministry, Peter was with him just about every day. And he was allowed to go with Jesus when other people were not. He was very, very close personal friends with Jesus. On the night Jesus was arrested, if you know the story, Peter's the guy who denies knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. And the third time, he actually curses Jesus' name. Obviously, he's ashamed as he watched Jesus die. Jesus comes back to life. Peter doesn't know what to do. So Jesus actually has an encounter with Peter where he not only forgives Peter, but he says, hey, Peter, it's good. I put some stuff in you, man. I've given you some gifts. I've given you some talents. I need you to go change the world. And that's what Peter does. Peter, along with Jesus' little brother, a man named James, a man named Andrew, a man named Paul, they take the message of Jesus from Jerusalem into the known world at the time, and that message is still spreading almost 2,000 years later. So that's who this guy was. That's Peter. And Peter wrote a couple of letters that we now have in the New Testament. Because much like Paul, Peter would write letters to people because they didn't know how to be Christian. This was a brand new faith. And so Peter wrote two letters that we know of to Christians, giving them instructions on how to be Christians and what it meant to follow Jesus. He had been with him for 3 years, so he had some teaching. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write it. And we believe we can read these letters almost 2,000 years later, and it's as if God is speaking directly to us. And in Peter's first letter, in chapter 4, he talks about this topic. He talks about competence. He specifically talks about gifting. He talks about gifts that God gives to his people. And here's what he says. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. You meaning anyone who calls himself a Christ follower. And what he's saying is, God has given you a gift. Again, not God might give you a gift in the future. Not God was preparing to give you a gift, but you messed up. Not God thought about giving you a gift, but you blew it, so he took it back. No, God has given you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. That means God himself has made you uniquely competent in something. Now, I've been in ministry for almost 20 years. So I've had this conversation a lot with lots of people. And there tend to be two pretty specific reactions to this concept of God giving us unique gifts, God giving us unique competence for doing things. The first reaction is usually, really? Like, me? I think God must have missed the boat, man. Like, God maybe give other people gifts, but I'm not really special in anything. I'm not really talented. I mean, I'm fine, but I don't really have anything unique. I don't really have anything that sticks out. I mean, I love God, but yeah, he didn't really deliver on this one. I don't really have anything to offer. And to you, I would say, well, that's not what Peter says. And Peter was just simply speaking on God's behalf. And so my hope today is as we talk about this competency, that maybe God will begin to open your eyes and you'll begin to discover what this is God has put inside of you. But I said there's two reactions to this idea of God giving us spiritual gifts. Some people say, really? Other people respond, well, which one? Which gift? Because I got lots of gifts. And please hear me. Look, let me just. Peter himself, Peter would have been in the which one camp, okay? So I'm not knocking you. Peter, as we read through the text, Peter was a very confident dude. Peter had a very high self-esteem. Peter knew he was good at certain things. He knew he had skills. He knew he had talents. If you know you're good at certain things, if you know you had skills, if you know you have gifts, if you know you have talents, and they have made you successful in business, and they've made you successful in relationships, and they allowed you to thrive at school, and they've allowed you to thrive in sports, and they've allowed, there's nothing wrong with any of that. The question you want to know is, okay, which one of those is from God? Which one of all these great things that I can do, which one do I give God credit for? Because I've worked really hard on some of these. So you're telling me God gave me a gift. Which one did he give me? And here's what Peter would say back. All of them. Because God's your creator. He created you. He designed you. He prepared you. Everything you're good at because he wanted you to be good at. All your gifts, all your strengths, all your talents are from him. Now, why does that matter? Well, it's because of what Peter says next. He says, yes, God gave me a gift and God gave you a gift and God gave us all gifts. And then he says this, use them to serve one another. So see, if we think we developed our own gifts and we think we came about our own gifts ourselves, then it becomes very easy to use them for who? Ourselves. And really the heart of Christianity is to strive to not be selfish, is to strive to think of other people above yourselves, which is why when Peter begins this conversation about gifts, hey, God gave you those, and he says, hey, make sure you use them to serve other people well. Make sure you use them in service of others. Now, does that mean that if you have certain gifts and strengths and talents and abilities, that you shouldn't use them in your life and you shouldn't use them for a career and you shouldn't use them to be successful and to thrive? Absolutely not. That's not at all what he's saying. He gave you those things. What he's saying is, in your career, at school, in your excelling at sports, in those things, operate as if someone else gave you that gift. Be mindful of that, and when you have the opportunity, use that gift to help other people. Don't let it stop with you. Don't make it only about yourselves. And he explains with an example. He says, so for example, if you have the gift of speaking, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. In other words, if you're aware you have a gift from God, use that gift like God would use it. And that's what he's inviting us to do. He's inviting us to become aware of the places he's gifted us, become aware of the places we have special competencies maybe other people don't have, and to then use those competencies as God would use them. Use them to bless other people. Use them to help other people. And as we do that, something really cool happens. In the next example, watch this. The next example, he says, let's say you have the gift of helping other people, which would be a pretty hard gift to be selfish in. Let's be honest. If your gift is helping other people, that's going to come pretty naturally to focus it on other people. But look what he says. He says, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. So here's what he just promised. He's saying, when you take your gifts and you use them for me, not only am I going to give you the gift, I'm going to give you the energy to accomplish the gift. I'm going to give you the strength you need. I'm going to give you everything you need to do what I want you to do. I'm going to give you everything you need to use those gifts to help other people. And when you hear that, you want to think, okay, well, but why? I mean, at some point, I've got to play a role here. Why are you giving me the gift? Why are you equipping me? And you're going to give me the energy, and you're going to give me the strength. Like, I get it. I've got to wrap my brain around all this. This is all yours. But not only are you telling me, you're going to give me everything I need? And Jesus is like, yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Why? Here's what Peter says. Because then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. If you were here last week, what's our purpose? Why are we here? To bring glory to God. So what Peter is teaching us is how to bring glory to God in our unique context every single day. And he's saying, just simply look around. Look at your gifts. Look at your strengths. Look at what you're good at and ask a simple question. Am I using my gifts for me or am I using my gifts for others? Am I using this gift how I want to use it or am I using it how God wants to use it? Is he asking me to use a gift in this season, but I don't want to because I'm too tired? Am I open to the fact that he says he's going to give me the energy to do it? Am I open to the idea that as I lean into this moment, I'm going to finally understand what it means to fulfill my purpose in the world? See, don't miss this. Let's go to all five. See, they all build on each other. That's all we've talked about one each week. As we begin to build our lives, back to the tree analogy, is begin to build our lives on him, heck, and trust God. And then we say, okay, so I believe who he says I am. I'm a child of God. And so then we say, okay, so that means I belong to him. So I don't have to worry about how other people feel about me and work for other people's approval. I can trust I belong to him. And he's given me a purpose that I'm supposed to love him. I'm supposed to help other people find him. But how am I supposed to do that? Oh, well, he's given me gifts. He's given me strengths. He's given me abilities. He's given me the ability to do things other people can't do. Well, then I'm supposed to use that for him. Huh. I thought I was good at that because that's what was going to make me a lot of money. I thought I had that skill because it was going to make me successful. And Jesus would say, well, I mean, that's a fine byproduct. But you remember the year we just lived through? Where all those things kept happening that were completely beyond your control? And because the things fell, you questioned your competence? You looked around and said, well, if I was better, this would have happened. No, it was a global pandemic. You had no control over it. But if we don't understand that our competence is a gift from God, meant to be used for his glory, we can very quickly begin to think it's our competence that's meant to be used for our success. Which means when bad things happen, that we have no control over, we begin to think we're a failure because we weren't competent enough. And then our security begins to shake. Our identity gets questioned. We struggle to figure out where we belong. All because we didn't understand those gifts were given to us for a higher purpose. So what would happen, Wellspring? What would happen? If tomorrow morning you wake up fully understanding, you know what? I find my security in him. I believe who he says I am. I belong to him. My purpose is love. And the gifts he's given me are to be used for his glory alone. What do you think would happen if that was your anchor, if that was your base, if that's what you lived for each day? What would happen the next time there's a circumstance beyond your control that begins to derail what you thought the future was? Do you think it would be easier to weather that or more difficult? It'd be much easier, right? Because we'd actually have a base, because we would have a firm foundation. So our goal today is to begin to recognize these gifts, this competence he gives us. While it may help us day to day, and yes, we've built careers on it, there's a higher calling. There's a higher purpose. And that is his glory. To turn attention to him. Now, think about that for just a moment. Because as I said, there's usually two reactions to this. We've already looked at both of them. Some people say, really? Some people say, which one? If you were in the which one camp, you might now be in the really camp. Really? God wants me to use this for his glory? God wants me to use this to help him? See, I understand we have some confusion. Apparently, the people who were reading Peter's letter also had some confusion. Because in his first letter, he deals with this topic in chapter 4. All right? In his second letter, he deals with this topic in verse 3 of chapter 1. It's as if between the two letters, people wrote back, people had conversations, and they're like, Peter, we have some questions about the gift thing because you said we all have gifts and we're supposed to use the gifts how God wants us, but we don't feel like we have a gift, and I have a weird gift, and I'm not sure how to use it, and it's all very confusing, and we're all just basically living thinking that God let us down and God gave other people gifts, but God didn't give us a gift. And Peter's like, okay, let me try to make it clearer. And so in his second letter, he spends 2 verses saying, how do you do? And then in verse 3, he says this. By his divine power, God has given everything we need for living a godly life. Stop. By his divine power, God has given me, you, all of us who call ourselves Christians, everything we need for living a godly life. Everything we need to fulfill everything he wants from us. Everything we need for fulfilling our purpose. He has given it to us. We have received all of this by coming to know him. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to wonder. We received it. By coming to know Jesus, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. In other words, Jesus took care of all of it. He rescued you. He called you. He brings you in, and he has equipped you. He has gifted you. He has given you competence. So, if it's this clear, and it's been this clear for almost 2,000 years, why don't we feel it? Why don't we clearly know what our competence is? Why don't we clearly know what our gifting is? Why don't we operate in it every single day? Why is it such a struggle? Well, it's because I struggle, you struggle, we all struggle with something I'm calling competence confusion. We get confused about our competence. And one of the primary reasons we get confused about our competence is because we engage in comparison. Sometimes we miss our competence because we're comparing ourselves to someone else. And we've decided what they're good at is what we want to be good at. And because we're not good at the thing they're good at, we tell ourselves we're not good at anything. And God would say, well, they're good at that because I gave them that gift because I have a role for them. You're good at this because I gave you that gift because this is what I want you to do. But that's a very difficult concept for us as humans to understand. It's hard not to look around and say, well, that looks more fun. That's flashier. They get more attention. I wish I had that gift. And what Jesus would say is, hey, I understand that, but I'm not really interested in what you want. I love you too much to give you what you want. See, my job is to convince you that what I want for you is better than what you want for you. That's why the whole surrender thing happens. And the reason it's better is because I know the future and you don't. I know what's coming. I know what I have planned for your life. But if we waste our time comparing ourselves to others and denigrating ourselves because we don't have gifts God never intended us to have, of course we will live confused about our competence. And the real danger with comparison when it comes to competence is sometimes comparison will lead to competition. Well, they have this gift, and I have it a little bit, but it's not as good as them, so I got to get better because I got to beat them. Everybody looks at me like I'm crazy when I talk about competition. Come on, you're all competitive. You know you are. I wish I could tell you that, like, pastors aren't competitive, that we somehow magically lose the competitive gene, but I try not to lie on the stage. And so it's a real thing, man. And what happens when it comes to our competence is we never allow ourselves to be good enough for what God called us to do because we're not as good as someone else that, again, God has called them to do something else. And so as we look around and compare to other people and we try to compete with other people, it becomes easy to convince ourselves we're not good at anything. And God would say, no, you are exactly as good as I want you to be at everything I want you to be good at. I've given it to you. It's your measures, it's your metrics, it's your own internal clock that's saying, I'm not fast enough. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where that they are. Why don't I have as much? Why can't I do this? And God would say, hey, again, who's telling you these things? Because I'm telling you that I've given you everything you need to do everything I want you to do. So who's telling you you're not enough? Who's telling you don't measure up? Who's telling you don't have gifts? Who's telling you you're not competent? Because what he would say is, it's not me. So choose to believe what he says. Choose to embrace the idea that I've got something. I may not see it. And you ask yourself, am I busy comparing myself to other people? Is that why I'm missing my competence? Am I busy competing with other people? Is that why I'm missing my competence? Or there's a third option. Sometimes it's comparing, sometimes it's competing, and sometimes we miss our competence because we confuse our calling. Calling is just a simpler way of saying how we live out God's purpose for us. For example, I believe I was called by God to become a pastor. This is what he called me to do. This was his specific path for me, which means he gave me competencies to do this. He gave me the right skill set and the right strengths and the right abilities to be able to step into this calling. He did not give me competencies and strengths and abilities to step into another calling. For some of us, the reason we don't feel good at anything is because what we are pursuing is not something God wants for our life. And we keep wanting to get better at this thing, and God's like, I don't want you to be good at that because that's not what I want you to do. For example, and this is an example, I am not doing this. But for example, if I were to decide tomorrow to quit my job and pursue becoming a professional golfer, it'd be a big mistake because I am terrible at golf. Like, terrible. I like it, but I am terrible at it. So I do not have any particular gifting in the world of golf. And the reason is because God does not want me to be a professional golfer. But if every time I play golf, I beat myself up and I tell myself I'm bad at everything because I'm not amazing at golf, that's for me to misunderstand my calling. If God wanted me to be great at golf, I'd be great at golf. He does not. Like, he really doesn't. He wants me to play golf like 3 times a year. He's like, I can't make you any better. Woo. But so many of us feel inadequate and we feel like we have nothing to offer because we haven't taken the time to say, hey, God, is this what you want for my life? Because the answer might be no. And that's why you're not good at it. And then we say, well, God, what do you want for my life? And he's like, well, I'm glad you asked. But now, don't confuse it. You will not automatically be competent at everything you're called to. Let me be very clear. Because there are some universal callings in life. If you are blessed to have children, you are called to be a great parent. Some people are born naturally great parents, like my wife. Other people, like me, not so much. I had to learn to be a good parent. If you are a spouse, you are called to be a great spouse. It doesn't mean you're naturally going to be gifted to be a great spouse. If you are a friend, you're called to be a great friend. It doesn't mean you're going to be naturally gifted at that. And there is a word for what to do when there's a space between our calling and our competency. And the word there, what fills that gap, is the church. The church is the place we come to raise our competency to the level of our calling. The universal callings of being a Christ follower, being a great friend, being a great parent, those are all things that the church wants to equip and help pour competence into you. It's why in Wellspring Kids, we talk about partnering with parents. We're not your children's spiritual leader. We want to partner and equip you to become their spiritual leader. It's why we talk about relationships, because we want to equip you to be great at relationships. But those are universal callings. If you are a parent, you are called to be a great one, period. But we're not all called to be golfers. And we're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be performers. We're not all called to be teachers. We're not all called to be doctors. But what we can rest in is that we are all called. And when it comes to those unique callings, the pathway to our calling will typically start with our competence. It'll start with what we're naturally good at, which is why we're talking about this. So if today you still don't know what you're naturally good at, you don't know what maybe God wants to use to help him, then I have a request. Let us know. Meet us outside in the lobby. Reach out this week. Because one of our favorite conversations on the planet to have is with someone who says, I want to be used by God, but I don't know how. I don't know where he's gifted me. I don't know what I'm competent at. Because here's what we know. We've never had one of those conversations where God didn't reveal something, didn't reveal a way you could use something he's given you for his glory. And that's what matters to us. In fact, if you do know what your strengths are, if you do know some gifts, if you do know a way that you can play your role in God's story, the easiest and safest first step is to begin playing your role right here. It's why we have so many roles, both on Sunday morning and during the week. It's for people to get used to using their gifts for God's glory. And so today you can take a step as well. You can take a step into using your gifting, using what he's given you to help other people. Because some people, yes, they begin the security and they work their way all the way down to competence. But a lot of times it doesn't work that way. Let me show you the list one more time. For a lot of people, their path to resiliency begins with their competency. It begins with discovering, I'm pretty good at this. I've got a gift. And they decide to surrender it to Jesus. And they say, all right, Jesus, how can we use this for your glory? And by stepping into that competency, by stepping into it, they begin to live out their purpose. And they begin to feel what it means to love God and to make him known. And as they walk in that purpose, next thing they know, they feel the belonging that comes from a relationship with Jesus. They feel the belonging that comes from being a part of his family. And as they belong, they finally begin to believe who he says they are. They begin to believe, I am a child of God. I am defined by him. I am designed for good. And as they begin to believe their identity, they find finally the ability to find their security, the ability to anchor their lives to the unchanging Savior of the universe. So whether you know what your competency is or not, the most important step you can take today is to step into that gifting. Step in to using what he's given you for his glory, because that is the pathway to purpose and to belonging and to identity and to security. That is the pathway to building a life that is resilient, because it is built on our Savior. So whatever step that is, my challenge for you today is to take it. Step into the gifting God's given you. Step into using that gifting for his glory. And watch what happens. As we close and as you think about what your step is, we wanted to close with a story. And it's a story of someone who started with their competency. They weren't exactly sure what God had called them to do, but they knew what they enjoyed. They knew what they were good at. And as they stepped, they trusted God. And every step of the way, he made himself clearer until they found themselves walking in exactly the purpose God had intended for them all along. So as you think about your next step, check out this story.
My name's Kevin Collier. I'm a STEM teacher at the Myrtle Beach Early Childhood School. Earlier in my life, I really didn't know what I needed to do or what I was supposed to do. And my journey started when I was younger. My family, we lived in Myrtle Beach. My dad kind of said, hey, Kevin, I want you to play football. And I said, all right, I'll try it. Don't know really what football is or never watched it or anything, which is hilarious because I'm a football coach now. And I think that was kind of like a small turning point in my life, because I met some really great people. And at that point, I met one of my coaches that kind of put me in position to start an FCA at our high school. And later on, he asked me to volunteer at our church. I volunteered a youth group, and I was with K through 5 kids and had great experience. But once again, never even thought that I had a future in teaching kids or being with kids. I went to Coastal Carolina. God, I felt like, was calling me to go back to Myrtle Beach. And I decided to do early childhood education. And I had a really impactful experience when I was in high school. Well, as a senior, we did a program called Teacher Cadet. And what that did was allowed students to go into classrooms to basically watch over another teacher and help out and basically kind of be a mentee to one of these teachers. And I had a teacher named Meryl Kessler. And she was an amazing teacher and still is an amazing teacher, and kind of showed me how teaching was so important in these children's lives. And I was so immersed in it, and the experience was great, and these kids loved me and started to hang out and just kind of saw me as a role model. So I started talking to Meryl, and she kind of told me a lot of these students lacked a male role model in their life. And that kind of hit me. I love teaching. One of the things I'm truly passionate about is just helping kids find their purpose. And one of the things that God has kind of put in front of me is being able to coach high school football at the same alma mater that I graduated from. And when I left and I came back from Newberry in South Carolina, one of the things I wanted to do was coach football while I was pursuing my degree in early childhood. And my coach gave me a chance, said, "Hey, Kevin, we got a spot for you. I want you to coach." And it was a little difficult at first. And I was surrounded with a great group of coaches that kind of mentored me. And when they mentored me and kind of put me in a position to better myself, I then realized, you know what? God put me in this position not so I could be better, so that I could really help some of these kids find a purpose and find their goal and their journey. I had a kid who was really frustrated all the time. He got angry, he got upset, and when it triggered, he would put himself in a position to hurt his team. And I saw that, and I kind of saw an opportunity to give him something that I was gifted a long time ago. I was gifted a student devotion that I read every day when back in school, and it really kind of helped guide my thought throughout the day. And I saw it as a great opportunity to give him my gift of the devotion. And when I gifted it to him, he kind of looked at me, said thank you. He gave me a hug, and it was almost like it clicked. It almost was like it was purposeful, and that I was there for that reason, because that helped him through his next stages of life, just being able to read that devotion. And years later, after he graduated high school, and years down the road, he has a job, and I saw him one day, probably a couple months ago, honestly, and he kind of thanked me, and he said, "You know, Coach, I really appreciate what you did years ago." And I kind of like looked. I was, you know, I've coached hundreds of kids since then, and I was like, "You know what? You're welcome." I was like, "You know, I remember I gifted you a devotion." And he's like, "Yes," and I was like, "All right, glad that kind of worked out for him." So me and my wife, we recently had a child back in June. She's 7 months old. Her name's Charlie Ray Collier. Me and my wife can't be any more happier to be able to live in this community, to teach in this community, because we know this is God's purpose for us. I mean, that's how I felt like God has kind of brought me back here to Myrtle Beach after this 33-year of journey that I've had, where I've been at different places all my life. And Kristen's not even from here. She's from Virginia, and God has called us to be here, to teach here, to love the kids here, to be able to continue our growth here. And that's why we're just excited to live in Myrtle Beach, and that's what we believe our purpose is.